The Book of Revelation is written to seven churches in Western Asia Minor during a great time of oppression. Today's reading provides a response to the question asked in 6:17, who is able to stand? The writer responds to the faithful with assurance of God's protection and a vision of eventual victory. A reading from the Revelation. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Robed in white with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and power and thanksgiving and honor and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water and of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life.
Good morning. Welcome once again to Queen Anne Lutheran Church. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Last week, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The Reformation, we learned, was not simply an event that took place in the past. As Martin Luther and his colleagues argued, the Lutheran Church should always be reforming, adapting to new and changing circumstances. That Reformation, however, cannot happen if it comes merely from the pastor. It must come from us. And so I invited each of you to add to the 9.5 theses I suggested for church reform one of your own. After the service today, if you are interested and weren't able to get a copy of those 9.5 theses that I offered, I have additional copies in the back, and I would love to hear additional suggestions for church reform that you may have. This morning, we turn from Reformation to Revelation, from celebration to concern. The book of Revelation, an excerpt of which was read for our first lesson, contains some of the most graphic violence and jarring language in all 66 books of the Bible. By the end of chapter 6, as the biblical scholar Bart Ehrman observes, the universe caves in on itself, even as the pain and agony brought about by God's judgment continues another 13 unrelenting chapters. That's hardly an appropriate reading for Family Sunday, wouldn't you say? Let me ask each of you a question. If the book of Revelation was made into a movie, one where God destroys the sun, blots out the moon, and empties the heaven of stars, bringing untold suffering upon the vast majority of humankind in the process, what rating would you give it? Would you rate it G? General audience, suitable for all ages. Would you rate it PG? Parental guidance suggested. Some material, in particular the destruction of the sun, may not be suitable for children. Would you rate it PG-13? Parents strongly cautioned, God, after all, destroys the earth and the universe caves in on itself. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Or would you rate it R? Restricted, under 17, not permitted without an adult or guardian. My guess is, with all of this violence, we have a real problem here. We live in a culture where violence constitutes a large portion of our entertainment. And so on this first Family Sunday, I'd like to ask each of you a question to think through for yourselves. Is the book of Revelation suitable for reading in public worship? Can it be redeemed? Or is the New Testament's most violent book suitable for only some audiences? Or, to take it one step further, should it be banned from the movie theater altogether? Wow. Oh, come on, Pastor, you might be saying to yourself, it's not really that big of a deal. For one thing, Revelation is so confusing, most people don't even bother to read it. For example, I've shared this with some of you before. When I was in high school, I tried to read the Bible cover to cover. Do you recall how far I got? Chapter 16 of Genesis, not very far. At the end of chapter 16, I decided to skip ahead to the end of the book of Revelation. I read the last few sentences, I thought, all's well that ends well, and I was done. Like most people, I didn't read the book of Revelation. For another thing, you might add, even if it were a movie, it's not like most kids haven't already been exposed to violence on the big screen. I mean, Pastor, you yourself said you watched and loved Star Wars as a kid, and you turned out, well, relatively okay. You even called Star Wars the second greatest story ever told. And besides, if you look at our first reading, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, you don't really see any violence there, do you? All of this, I might say, is true. In fact, I'd have to admit it's true. And I even confess my own sin that I love Star Wars, violence and all. But take a closer look with me, if you will, at chapter 7, our first reading for today. Here we see great multitudes standing before the throne of God, praising God's power and might. Now remember, this is the same God who authorized the destruction of the universe in chapter 6. And that reference you see to the Lamb, to Christ, in verses 8, 14, and 17, this is the same Christ, as chapter 6, verse 17 confirms, whose wrath was to come. And unfortunately, chapter 8, just after our first reading, is no better. There, an angel takes a censer. Do you know what a censer is? C-E-N-S-E-R. It's a container in which incense is burned. We have one of them over here, usually during religious ceremonies. This angel, according to chapter 8, takes a censer, fills it with fire from the altar of God, and hurls it at the earth. Yes, it's true. Chapter 7 does offer us a brief interlude, a brief respite, a brief intermission from violence. And its words of consolation, including the promise that death will lose its sting and God will wipe away every tear, must have offered incredible reassurance to those in the first century, the original audience of this text, who were experiencing persecution at the hands of the Roman Empire. Beyond that, these beautiful words of consolation must, for some of us, mean something as they arc across the centuries and comfort those of us this All Saints' Day who have experienced painful loss ourselves. But a Christ of wrath and a God who uses power and might to blot out the sun, to make the moon bleed, and to destroy the earth, is this the God we worship, or merely a revelation revenge fantasy? And is this the same Christ who blesses the merciful and the peacemakers, as our gospel reading for today indicates? And so, again, my question to each of you: can Revelation be redeemed, or is it too violent, too inconsistent with a Christ who renounces violence, who blesses the peacemakers, and a God whom Paul identifies in 2 Corinthians with peace itself? This morning, I'd like to suggest that Revelation can be saved, that Revelation can be redeemed. And it all comes down to one single verse in chapter 7, our first reading this morning. Are you ready? Take a look at verse 17. Who is seated at the center of God's throne? The Lamb. And who or what is the Lamb? The Lamb, as you know, is Christ, an innocent victim of mob mentality and state violence. Now, let me ask you this. What if the throne on which the Lamb is seated is a metaphor elevating vulnerability? Do you see then what is happening here? Here in chapter 7, in this brief interlude, this brief intermission between violence and more violence, we see a ray of light that breaks through and reverses everything. The Lamb, the Christ, the victim, the vulnerable is vindicated, elevated by God. Here, when the clouds of violence part, we see just for a moment what our hymn of the day will refer to as a different kind of king. Here, we see a stunning reversal of conventional worldly power and might. The same reversal we see in today's gospel. Take a look, if you wish, at Matthew 5. In each of these blessings, Jesus is turning things upside down. Blessed, he says, or honored, he says, or happy, he says, are the destitute. Blessed, he says, are the poor in spirit. Blessed, he says, are those who mourn. And blessed are those who work for peace. Dear friends in the Lamb, what Jesus teaches in Matthew 5 is also present in Revelation 7, even if it's harder to find. The inspiration of this text is not to be found in the violence that brackets both sides of chapter 7. Neither is it present in the praising of God's power and might. The inspiration, I submit, occurs in verse 17 when the Lamb, the vulnerable, is elevated on the throne, replacing an old worldly conception of power with a new kind of power that is present, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, in vulnerability, weakness, and reliance on God. Where those who suffer, especially the bereaved, are comforted not by God's power, but by God's tender, merciful love. This, I would argue, is Revelation redeemed. And while much of its content probably could be rated R. It's this image, this single verse, this text that I would submit saves the book and merits a G rating. Not just suitable for general audiences, but G for gospel, pure gospel. Dear friends, this is the Lamb of God who, in the name of vulnerability, takes away the sin of the world. Amen.